this is the first time I've actually told people where they are, you know, kind of, you know, where to look at. The second one is pretty obvious.
I know it's going in my promo copy for this episode. If you want to know where the Easter eggs are in your kid's book, listen to this episode.
Yeah.
Welcome to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast for micropreneurs building genuine, lasting relationships with clients, colleagues, and community. I'm your host, Candace Rodarte. If you love listening to interviews with grateful entrepreneurs who are making this world a better place, be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a groovy review. Today, I'm joined by the host of my favorite podcast, Keb Pound. Keb is a comedian, podcast host, and author from Jacksonville, Florida. As the host of the Stupid History Minute podcast, he brings humor and entertainment to audiences worldwide. With a background in stand-up comedy and sports talk radio, Keb's wit and engaging personality have made him a unique figure in the industry. He is also the author of The Stupid History Book, where he combines history and humor to shed light on everyday items. Keb is a proud parent and finds joy in spending time with his family. Through his unique talent and passion, Keb Pound continues to leave a lasting impact in the world of comedy and entertainment. I cannot wait to dig into this interview, but first, a word from our sponsor. This episode of Gratitude Geek, a relationship marketing podcast, is brought to you by Sweet Harvest Farms. Sweet Harvest Farms' organic handmade bath, body, and spa products are free from harmful chemicals and additives, ensuring a gentle and nourishing experience for even the most sensitive skin. From luxurious soaps to decadent lotions, Sweet Harvest Farms offers a complete range of bath and body essentials to elevate your skincare routine. After trying Sweet Harvest Farms Body Silk Lotion, I'm not sure I can ever go back to using any other lotion brand again. It leaves my skin feeling soft and silky and never sticky. And here's an exclusive offer for our Gratitude Geek listeners. Save 15% off your entire purchase when you enter discount code GRATITUDEGEEK at checkout. And if that's not incentive enough, get free shipping on orders over $100. Don't miss this opportunity to indulge in the ultimate pampering experience. Make the move to organic handmade soap, bath, body, and spa today by visiting sweetharvestfarms.com. That's sweetharvestfarms.com. Welcome, Keb. I cannot tell you how excited I am to have this conversation with you. So
thanks for having me.
So tell us your story. How did you get to where you are today?
That's a long, long story. I guess it starts with I was born on a night where the moon was full, and way back in 1975. I guess how I got to kind of where I'm at now would be I have a love for entertaining people. There are really three things that I am passionate about: my family and friends, that's a given. But entertaining people, and then I am a very, very, very passionate sports fan. So these three things, you know, have kind of, you know, guided my life. In one shape or form, I've always been a performer. You know, I was in musical theater when I was in high school and junior high. Growing up, I was in believe it or not, a show choir. But that translated into, I'd always had kind of a quirky sense of humor and a love for just kind of making people smile. I've been married twice. So my first marriage, I was heavily into, it kind of translated into the sports talk radio. I was on the radio for 4 years. I had my own show. That opened up a lot of doors for me, but I was just kind of looking around and saying, you know, I want something, you know, a little more. I want something. And then a friend of mine who was a stand-up comic said, look, you know, and I was actually writing jokes for him and seeing people laugh at my material that I was writing that somebody else was telling. And I was just like, I can do this, you know? So after a couple of adult beverages to help me, you know, get up there, and after a lot of going and watching and doing that, I had my hand at it and went off kind of a hitch. Naturally, I was horrible for about a year or two. You know, that's what people don't tell you when you get into something like that. You're going to bomb for like 2 years. just get used to it. I mean, you'll get laugh breaks here and there, but I'll tell you what epiphany I had, and this kind of leads into where I'm at now, is when I got divorced, I really stopped trying to write material and that really tried to entertain others. And I wrote material that entertained myself. And that really was, you know, kind of a turning point into where I stopped bombing. I was having, getting better gigs and things like that. And then all of a sudden the pandemic hits, and I meet my current wife, we get married. We start a life together. She was totally on board with the stand up and with comedy. And, she was like, let's get, if you need to take a workshop here or go, meet these people. And we live in Florida. So Orlando is very accessible to us. Miami is very accessible to us. Tampa is very accessible to us. These are huge hubs for comedy. Atlanta is very accessible to us. We go to Atlanta all the time, Savannah. So when the pandemic hit and everything shut down, it was a tough time for stand up. That's when a very smart person said to me, you should start a podcast. And I said, I have absolutely no idea what I should do with a podcast. And they're like, just do your stand up on, just get a microphone, just do whatever comes to your mind. Just talk. And he goes, the hardest thing is pressing record, and he goes, you'll find a shtick. It'll just be like stand up. It'll be like, you'll be horrible at it for a while. And I started a podcast called Kev Unfiltered. And I guarantee you, my mom and my sister were probably the only people that listened. And I remember one of the very early episodes it was entitled Things That Pissed Me Off, I just talked for an hour, and I have a favorite comedian named Bill Burr I kind of modeled it after what he does. And he just kind of rants and raves about things that irritate him and things that he sees. And that's kind of my standup. My standup isn't, Trump versus Biden. My standup is, what's funny to me is the fact that my wife won't ask me a question until I'm 3/4 of the way asleep, at night. And then she wants to have a full blown conversation at 11:30 at night. That's funny to me. Or my daughter riding in the car, and she says, hey, I don't think I want to have kids. They just seem that they're more work than they're worth. And I'm like, yeah, I feel you. I mean, that's what my, stand up's about. Anyhow, so we get to Kev Unfiltered, and it's getting some traction. More people are listening. I remember that epiphany, or that day that you look on and somebody that you don't know listened, and you're like, it's out there, And I met a guy who was into podcasting. He was my exact opposite. He's actually a ordained Baptist minister. And he was like, you could get pretty rough, and I said, yeah. And he goes, well, you want to start a podcast? And I said, okay. And he goes, I got another guy. He's a Catholic guy. And I think the three of us would be hilarious together. You want to start a comedy podcast? And I said, yeah. And so he goes, I like your Kev Unfiltered name. How about we just call it Unfiltered, like that? And I said, okay. And, it really kind of took off. We've been doing that I'm actually still a co-host on that. It's kind of reinvented itself like three times. We've changed the name of it three times, but right now we talked about sports a lot anyway. So we just made it a sports podcast. And so, but it's totally unfiltered. But in there, I listen almost exclusively to history podcasts, and I wanted a podcast. Like, my kids can't really listen to Unfiltered. It's kind of blue, it's not a good example for the way I want my kids to talk. So I wanted something that my kids could, listen to. And I listened to a lot of history podcasts, and they're all really long and really boring. And I don't know about you, but there's only so many times that I can listen to somebody's conspiracy theory on the JFK assassination. And they all do this, you know, they all introduce themselves like they're Walter Cronkite. I'm Walter Cronkite, you know, and they all introduce and they say their name like nine times. And it's almost like I was on the radio with, you know, it's 951, 73 degrees here in Jacksonville, Florida. You're listening to, you know, is almost like that. And so over and over, and I'm talking, you know, hardcore history, all these different podcasts, and I'm listening to all the same. And I'm like, can somebody just give me the facts, you know? And so I talked to a number of people about it, and they're like, yeah, but there are 50 million history podcasts, Kev. You know, there's 50 million history podcasts. It's like true crime. You know, there's a bunch of them out there. And he goes, how are you going to differentiate? You know what I mean? How are you going to be different? And so what I said was, okay, source material. Okay, what's the source material going to be? You know what my source material is going to be? It's going to be the Farmer's Almanac. That's what it's going to be. What do we have in the Farmer's Almanac? I get one for every Christmas. My mom gives me a Farmer's Almanac as a joke every Christmas. We're going to turn the joke on her. And I said, this whole thing is going to be a joke. It might just be funny to me, but I think it's hilarious. So source material, Farmer's Almanac. Okay, what we got in there? Turn to it. And I said, okay, we're going to make this thing a minute long, maybe 90 seconds. Some of them will be, but that's going to be the joke because it says it's going to be a minute long, but it's not a minute long. It's longer than a minute. Some of them are 2 minutes. Some of them are 3 minutes. So we're going to do that. Okay. Well, what are you going to talk about? We're going to talk about history things. Well, what history specifically? And I remember having this phone conversation. I'm sitting in my recliner in my living room. I look over into my kitchen, and on the kitchen table is a Ninja blender box. And I said, the first episode is going to be the history of the blender. You know, and that's the first episode of the podcast. That's the first chapter in the book. And then I just thought to myself, we're just going to do stupid everyday items or topics, something that people can relate to other than does the flat earth have an ice wall, you know, and who came, you know, we're not going to do these whole things. And then it got into holidays. We'll celebrate holidays, but I'm going to tell you something you didn't know about the holiday. You know, I'm going to tell you something that, you know, may be like a couple of days ago was Thomas Jefferson's birthday. You know, everybody knows he's the third president. Are we going to say that? Yeah. But does everybody know that he was an ambassador to France during the Revolutionary War? You know, things like that. That would be an everyday topic. You know, people know what that is. You know, today we did Kleenex. You don't get more every day than that, you know, and never did I think I did 30 episodes to begin with. Never did I think. And when that was over, I was done with it. It was a test until people started DMing me on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram going, hey, is that over? Don't you have more? And I'm not talking like two or three people. I'm talking hundreds of people. And I said, okay. And I shared it with, you know, the Unfiltered guys, and they're like, yeah, maybe you got something here. You know, maybe it's different. You know, no one's doing it. No one does a minute long podcast. There's some out there 5 or 10 minutes, but nobody does a minute and does it in the same way every time. Like you do, you introduce yourself, you know, and I don't know how many people I come on and do interviews with that the first thing that they'll say to me is, hey, can you do the thing like that? And I'll be like, what do you mean? You're like, can you do the intro? And I'm like, oh, you mean hello and welcome to the Stupid History Minute. I'm your host, Kev Pound. You mean that? Like, yeah. Okay. Can you do the ending? You know? This has been the Stupid History Minute. I'm Kev Pound. You know, he's like, no. Can you do it those first episodes? Like, I'm Kev Pound. Yeah, it's me, dude. You know, I mean, so never did I think that it would kind of, you know, we're approaching 700 episodes, you know, I mean, and we've done dumb stuff. The way it came into a book was
Well,
Michael.
yeah. You're answering all the questions that I haven't asked you yet.
Sorry. Well, go ahead.
I apologize. I want to, we'll talk about your book in a minute. I am friends, Facebook friends with Susan, who is the co-host of the History Chicks, which is one of the top 10 history podcasts out there. And we were having a friend of mine was thinking about starting a true crime podcast. And she thought that she'd just be able to spend a couple hours a week on it. And I was like, girl, you need to talk to Susan. Because Susan and her co-host Beckett spend something like 18 to 20 hours on each episode doing the research. And their episodes can be an hour or 90 minutes. I love their show, but I like your show better.
Thank you.
But the reason why I like your show better is because it's quick. And I learned the very first episode that I heard was the pickle episode, the stupid history of pickles. Mm-hmm. And I was hooked immediately because I'm like, this guy makes 2 minute videos about stupid stuff that's actually really fascinating. I mean, you can create something super fascinating in 2 minutes. And so I love the History Chicks and I love how deep they go into their research. Sometimes all you need is a snippet. And so I was thinking, well, you know, I could do a 2 minute podcast about gratitude, but several other people have already started that. I don't know if I can emulate what you do, but I personally, my show is an hour. I rarely ever listen to hour long shows. I really need to find a sweet spot, but that's a 10 years. This is what happened. This is what the show transformed into. So I think it's supposed to be this way because that's the way it is. Right.
Yeah. I think hour long show, I mean, the sports program that I co-host, I mean, we're like an hour and a half. I listen to the hour long shows because I drive a lot, you know, on the weekends I'm going, you know, out of town a lot. And I drive a lot. And so there's only so much Spotify you can listen to. And every time you turn it on, it's Taylor Swift anyway. So, you know, I listen to the hour long shows when I'm in the car. I think I read a statistic to where like something stupid, like 75% of all podcasts are listened to in the car.
Really?
Yeah, or something like that. Another reason that
the second biggest place to listen to a podcast must be the shower.
I don't know. I don't know. I was researching how many people listen to it in the car because I was consulting with I'm not going to name them, but you probably guess who they are, a podcasting platform that Stupid History Minute is ranked pretty high on. And they were, I was a proponent that their app did not work with CarPlay. And if it did, then somebody like me would probably listen through their app exclusively, but I don't. I listen to I'm not going to name them because they don't, you know, the one that's a fruit, you know, the podcast app that's a fruit. I listened to the majority of podcasts on that, but this other one, I said, if you could hook it up with CarPlay, you know, it would work.
Yeah.
And
is my favorite. The one that I know you're talking about is my favorite player, except I can't listen. Like if I wanted to listen to 12 episodes of your podcast in a row, because I know that I have half an hour, right? Sure. I couldn't queue them up. I can't queue them up. I don't know how to queue them up.
Okay.
But I love everything else about that that platform. Everything else about that platform is wonderful, except you have to listen to one episode at a time, unless I don't know how to use the player.
I don't really know how to use the player either because it doesn't work with CarPlay, you know? So, but I like the app too. It's user friendly except for that part, but it can also, for independent podcasts like Stupid History Minute, it can give you exposure that was very difficult to have before. And that's what I like about it. There's a lot that I've had suggestions for. I'm part of a podcast network and they have their suggestions too. But in the end, if you use it for what it was designed to do, which is discover independent podcasts, you know, it's not there. I think as an independent podcaster, if you, in the first 5 years, if you, and I've been doing this since, you know, Kevin Filtered was a little bit before, you know, right as the pandemic started. So we're in our fourth year, but really with the research, because I'm a student of the game And if you're worried about downloads, you're doing this for the wrong reasons. You know, you really are. Do it because you have something to say. Do it because you wanted to make a big practical joke that just took off. You know, I mean, that's exactly what the Stupid History Minute was. It was a big joke, probably only funny to me. You know, I'm sure you've listened to more than one episode. You can kind of see where I try to play it straight laced because that's kind of the joke. But sometimes, like, we got one coming up here in a couple of days. It's about emojis. And I was just like, look, if you don't know what an emoji is, yeah, I don't know what to do for you. You know, I mean, you know, because I'm not going to explain to you. Yeah, I'm not going to explain to you what an emoji is. I'm just going to tell you where it came from. Mm-hmm. You know, we do. And when I say we, I might be the guy in the microphone, but there are a couple of people that help me out, especially with research. You know, because there's a couple of things that I refuse to let it be done with. Like, you know, I don't want to say I've been accused of, but people have asked me, you know, do you use AI to write your script? No, I don't. I write every one of them. There are words in there that I know I have a core listenership that almost daily will send me messages. And I know that there are words that I use every episode that either make them chuckle or annoy them. And that's why I do it. One of them is beloved. I use it a lot. And there's one in particular listener who messaged, not a podcaster, but messaged me almost daily every time he hears beloved, you know, on there. And I just think it's funny. I use fantastic a lot because I'm a big Arnold Schwarzenegger fan and he uses fantastic. That actor is fantastic, you know, and just things of that nature to make sure. And people who help me write it, my wife's a teacher. So people who help me write these things are okay. Did we get the buzzwords in there? Cause we have like a list of buzzwords that I want and not every one of them, but you know, and it comes from ancient times, you know, well, everything comes from ancient times. So
anything, you know, older than 20 years in the United States is ancient.
Right. What, you know, what I think's funny is when you look these things up and you look up, just say like a lamp, you know, and it will, there are stories out there that will tell you like where the idea for a lamp came from. And then, you know, are we talking about the lamp? Are we talking about a light bulb? You know, and then we're getting into, you know, Thomas Edison didn't really invent the light bulb. This other guy did. He just kind of patented it, you know, and then we're getting into this controversy. And now you got an argument going on Twitter, you know, or in your Facebook comment.
And I think you do a good job of not including the super controversial stuff in your episodes. You just stick to the facts and you steer, like when you did the Thomas Jefferson episode, that there could have been a deep, because I've been to Monticello and it was heartbreaking. I highly recommend going to the homes of the founding fathers because the curators do a good job of showing both sides of the mm-hmm. founding father. But learning about Thomas Jefferson's real life was heartbreaking. Like he was this, you know, this, he's this hero of the United States, but he was not a good person.
that is very true. Also, what I didn't get into because I'm going to get into it. He was kind of a thinker ahead of his time.
That's true too.
And you know, Sean, you know, there's a fine line. If you notice on Stupid History Minute, I'm real careful with that stuff, and I don't talk about politics.
Yeah.
Because as a performer, I do not want to split my audience. Usually when you do that, you got to choose a side. Yeah. You know, and I don't, I've never once outside of, if I make fun of one side, I'm gonna make fun of the other. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to this, if I were to, let's just take a controversial figure, Donald Trump. If I was going to do the history of Donald Trump, I would stick to the facts. You can't, that, because the facts, you can't argue with that.
Yeah.
You know, now shine what I may personally think about him or what you may personally think about him or what anybody may think about him. These are the facts. He was the 45th president. That's a mm-hmm. fact. Yeah. I'm doing a series on presidents. So we're going to do one on him. Yeah. You know, not many people like Richard Nixon. We're going to do one on him, you know, but we're going to stick to the facts. That's very difficult to do, especially when I have something I want to make fun of. But that's not really, it's very important to me and important to the brand because this has turned into a brand.
Yeah.
That it's the same way. I don't know if you heard any of the guest episodes that I had when I had other podcasters do a Stupid History Minute. If you go back to January, basically all of January was a bunch of, and next time I do one, you're doing it. You're doing it.
Do Nesbitt soda. I DM'd you once and asked you to do Nesbitt soda and you haven't done it yet.
We'll have to hook that up. Maybe you can do that on the next round, which is probably going to be August. And what I do is basically all I ask the guests do is record what I send them. They pick a topic. My team researches it. We research it.
Oh, how fun.
We write a script that says, hello and welcome to the Stupid History Minute. I'm so-and-so from so-and-so podcast. Today we're talking about, water, and go through the history of water, which would be hilarious, by the way. I got to do the history of water.
You got to do the history of water.
That's really funny. Where did it come from? Oh, the religious people might kill me. that's really funny. And then they end it out, and then they do one every day. It's a different podcast host. I think this time we had like 20, but like after the fact, people were like, oh man, I want to do one. I was like, well, I'll catch you. So I've got a list. Eventually we did it last May, like May 2022, no, 2023. And we did it for a week, and basically I had the guys in my podcast network do it.
Yeah.
This time went outside the network, did a little, networking, and it was really cool and started talking to a lot of the indie podcasts that I didn't know before. The next time there are people that are still, asking, hey, can I do this? Hey, can I do this? Hey, can I do this? So it'd be real easy. The hard part is when they come up with a topic to make sure that I haven't done it before. That's the tough part, but that's a quick search through my distributor. So it's fun.
Yeah. So let's talk about I want to talk about your book, and I keep putting it off, but you just mentioned your network. So let's talk about Unfiltered Studios. How did that come about?
So we were doing the show called Unfiltered, and there's a guy on there. We can't, my given name is Kevin. I've been going by Keb for 35 years. Biebs.
And that's Keb, K-E-B.
Yeah. It's like Deb, but with a K. So I do the show with a guy named Biebs and St. Joe. Those are their real names? No. They're nicknames. Their real names are Brandon and Scott. And Brandon called me one day and said, hey, I got an idea that, keep in mind, Brandon is an ordained Baptist minister, and he called me one day. He's like, hey, I've got an idea that is kind of based on what we've unfiltered, like you be you, I'm going to be me. You respect who I am. I respect who you are. I don't try to change you. You don't try to change me. We don't censor each other. Kind of based on that premise. And I'm like, okay, he goes, I want to start. He goes, you have the Stupid History Minute over here. It's doing great. I want to start kind of my own thing based in spirituality and religion and all this. He goes, do you have a problem with that? I said, no, I don't have a problem with that because I'd be a hypocrite. I'm the biggest proponent for free speech. Talk about what you want. I said, I believe that if I don't want to listen to it, I could do something that's amazing that most people don't know what to do. I can change the channel. I don't have to listen. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to start a movement on Facebook. I'm just going to simply choose my constitutional right to listen to something else. And that is kind of where that went. So he goes, well, and I'll never forget this. He goes, well, this could be the first podcast for Unfiltered Studios. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, you just start, kind of a network of our ideas. He goes, we can, get a website and put Stupid History Minute on there. And then St. Joe Scott, he came up, he's like, well, I got an idea. And Scott's kind of lost in the 80s. you know, kind of.
That's okay. That's an okay place to be.
Oh, it's a great place to be. And but I'm like really lost in the 80s. And Scott always brings like a list, and we always kind of make fun of him, you know, for bringing a list of things, you know, just wants to go down the list, top 10 this, top 10 this. He said, I want to do like a podcast where I can go list and nobody makes fun of me. So I'm going to make fun of you. You just can't hear me because I'm not going to be on there with you. He said, okay. And he has this like, there's this like inside joke between us called, you know, he says nailed it a lot. So he created a show called Nailed It. And basically talks about 80s stuff, or it's kind of like a hodgepodge kind of deal, nostalgia kind of podcast. And but it's gaining big time traction. So we kind of morphed all those into one. Well, I had and didn't really think anything about it. There's like no logo, or it's just like a bunch of friends. And we're just kind of like, okay, this is like, it's like a bike game, you know, and this is just what we're going to call us. We're under this flag. Yeah, so you had Unfiltered, you had Stupid History Minute, Nailed It, and Finding Your Way. And we have a friend who has a very, very, very popular podcast, and she knows everybody. And I just happened to be a guest on her podcast one time, and afterwards we were talking, and I said, she goes, well, what is this Unfiltered Studios thing? And I told her, and she goes, I don't know if I'm more offended that I didn't come up with it, or you people haven't invited me in yet. And I said, we just, you're kind of above us, you know, we're just these guys that like to make jokes, you know, you're kind of above us. I have a minute long podcast about the history of a clicker. And she's like, well, you know, maybe there's some legitimacy to that. When she joined and we advertised that she joined, we started getting many, you know, hey, inquiries of what that is. Well, now we're like, okay, we have no clue how to run a podcast network, you know, but we do have an idea of how one should run. So we did some research, talked to other networks, you know, and said, hey, and talked to people who were in other networks. And we're like, hey, look, we're not trying to like, you know, recruit you. You know, we're just trying to find out if, you know, what you would have for a network. And the biggest thing that we came through was the collaboration. Yeah. That's the main thing that podcasters want. And then in the research department, you know, we looked up what is the best way to market your podcast. It's the same as anything. The number one way to market a podcast is word of mouth. Mm-hmm. That's the number one way. And then podcast hosts going and guesting it and kind of helping each other out. When that happened, I kind of looked and I was like, well, I can't really have anybody on the Stupid History Minute. And that's when I came up with the guest host idea. Yes, I can. They can do an episode and people cannot hear my voice for a week or a month at a time, you know, and then I can make a big deal. Hey, I'm back. I don't know if you listened in late February, early March, but I had a stint in the hospital. You know, I was in the hospital for a week, and it was the week that I typically batch record the next month. And I do a month at a time. So, and you can always tell at the end of the month, you can kind of hear my voice. I'm kind of getting tired of talking. So, because it takes about two and a half hours to do a month, you know.
Yeah. Depending. I hope the listener who's thinking about doing their own podcast just heard what he said. It takes him 2.5 hours to record 8 minutes of audio.
Depending on how many times I mess up.
Yeah.
You know, depending on, yeah, it depends, you know, if I want to, you know, I've got a template in there. So kind of once you're done, it's 30 seconds, you're on to the next one. You know, you have them all written beforehand. So, but yeah, if you're out there and you're thinking about starting a podcast, we need to have a discussion, you know, but I was in the hospital.
I'm saying this from a place of, I want the best for people.
Sure.
There are so many folks that think, oh, we can start a podcast. It's going to be so much fun. And then they get 2 or 3 episodes done and they realize, holy moly, this isn't fun. This is work.
Sure.
So, I mean, you need to know that going into it.
Sure. All right.
Tell us, do you want to add to that?
So when I was in the hospital, there's like a break and I missed like 4 days, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I had my laptop and I couldn't really, it was rough. There's no way I could have recorded an episode. So what I did was I got a like an AI voice, and I typed the episode, and we had the AI voice come. So now we got a character named Robo Keb, you know, and I made it try to sound like a machine, you know, like Robo Keb to do that. So that there's a bunch of things, and the whole time I'm doing it, I'm just chuckling. You know, I'm like, I know who is going to, you know, send me a message going, "Hey, that's stupid," you know, and you have seen the name of the podcast, yes, you know, because yeah, it's like minor mess ups, like on recording. You know, I have a script and I'm pretty good at reading. I read through it like 3 or 4 times before, because there's a lot of people who I just recorded May, and May is a, we're doing a series on video games. Do you know how many video games were made by somebody in Japan? A lot. Okay. Yeah. So try to pronounce those names. So you don't want to be disrespectful to somebody's name.
Yeah.
So I go through it a bunch of times.
Thank you very much for having a very easy to pronounce name, by the way.
Oh yeah. It's very, very simple.
Yeah.
Two syllables. You know,
my name, nobody can ever get it right because it's spelled weird.
Well,
right?
It's Candace.
It's Candace. Yeah. Candace. It's Candace. It's Kansas with a D instead of an S after the N.
Right. So when you tell somebody that your name is Candace, do they spell it C-A-N-D-I-C-E?
Every single time.
Right.
Every single time. And even if they know it starts with a K, they always put the A-C-E at the end. Even if I have put my name, like if I'm sending it, "Hey, Keb, let's have a podcast, Candace," I'll get an email back. "Candace spelled incorrectly. Sure, I'd love to have a podcast." Right there. That's like my biggest pet peeve. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm a grateful person by nature.
No, that's good. No, okay. But, you know, us K's got to stay together, right?
That's right. K is powerful. Absolutely. Okay, it's potassium. K is potassium. That's a stupid history minute for you right there.
You know what? You laugh. Potassium was one of the things that they had to fix when I was in the hospital.
Mm.
So my potassium level, I'm gaining as I go through this journey of being 48, almost 49. What I tell my kids is that if you have any dreams, any aspirations, anything that you want to do, do that now, because this getting old junk is for the birds, you know? And I said, I woke up the other morning and nothing hurt, and I thought I had died in my sleep. And because something hurts every time, and this little jerk. So I'm like stockpiling little tidbits and little episode titles. And I'm going to do like one big one, and just, you know, because the way I deal with adversity and the way I deal with loss and things of that nature is I make fun of it. That's my coping mechanism. So people think, "Hey, you don't take anything seriously. Hey, you can't joke about that." I disagree. If you're one of those people that think that there's not anything funny about everything, then just me and you are going to be friends.
I share that coping mechanism with you.
Yeah, there's something funny about everything, you know. And my uncle passed away a little over a month ago, and we're driving to his funeral, basically, and there the whole thing got stopped by a Bud Light truck, and I was just like, "Yeah, it's Uncle Harold." Yeah. And my wife's just like, "I don't think this is the right time to be joking about stuff like this." And I said, "When is the right time?" I mean, tomorrow he's still going to be dead.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, it's a part of life. We might have just put out in the open and not have to like hide and put it in this little box over here. And we're at a funeral. I said, "Be glad they didn't ask me to speak. It would have been a stand-up set." You know, I mean, yeah, I've known this guy my entire life. So I'd be glad that they didn't get me to speak, because you would have been like, "Oh no." You know, I mean, there would have been like 50 people there. They're like, "They're going to give this dude a microphone right now." But they didn't. So I said I would have if they would have asked me, but that's my coping mechanism. So stupid history makes it almost perfect, because you could go through like potassium, you know, and things like that, or you know, why the nurse comes in to wake you up to give you a sleeping pill. That's beyond me. I don't
just fell asleep and they check your blood pressure.
You know, they came in at like 2 o'clock in the morning and they're like, "We need to give you insulin." And I'm like, "I haven't eaten anything since like 6. You know, you won't give me a snack. You know, I'm starving. How's my sugar going to go up if I haven't eaten anything? Well, you know, why don't you check my sugar and then see if you need to give me insulin? Oh, that's a good idea. And I'm like, I've never had 1 minute of medical training ever. You know, I took CPR when I was in high school, but that was 30 years ago.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot that we don't know, and there's a lot that we think we know about the medical. I mean, the stupid history of the medicals, the modern day medical system.
It's happening.
Oh, I'm sure there is. The stupid history of vitamin D. That's a good one. It's vitamin D. Whenever somebody tells me that they're tired, I have two things that I suggest. And one of them is, how's your vitamin D level?
Sure.
You know, I know when I need more. Because I can feel it, but I'm hyper, you know, I'm living with metastatic breast cancer for the last 10 years. So I am totally plugged into how I feel. And I know, you know, I pay attention and I know when I get my blood work done and I feel a certain way and the blood work says this, I'm like, oh, okay, the correlation is. So, you know, I work really hard to maintain my vitamin D levels because when they're up, I feel great. And when they're low, I feel crappy. So. And it's something that simple as taking vitamin D every day.
Yeah, I work really hard to keep my sugar level where it is. You know, I drink a lot of water. You know, I have watched what I'm tired all the time too. And my son, who is 16, asked me, you know, he's like, why are you so tired all the time? And I said, okay, he goes, how long have you been tired for? And I said, since like 1998. You know, I mean, it's a while. He's like, yeah, wait, you were in your 20s in 1998. Yeah, it's been a second, you know, but it's, you know, I think as you get older, I used to make fun of my dad for getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, but now I get up at 5:30. You know, I think I figured out why he got up there because, you know, you get up as you get older, you get up in the middle of the light a lot more than you used in the middle of the night, a lot more than you used to. And at certain points, if you get up at five, you just give up. I might as well just get up. You know,
what's the point of going back to bed? Yeah. I'm the same way. It's not at five though. It's seven. But I used to be a late sleeper. I mean, my husband and I have opposite sleep schedules, which is kind of nice because I get extra sleep. He would wake up at five and I would wake up at 10 naturally. And now I wake up at seven naturally. I guess I get more done.
Sure. You know? Sure. Go ahead.
No,
I used to get up at like noon. Yeah. Mm. Because I used to be before, you know, teenagers will keep you. I've one in college and one in high school. So they'll keep you active. They'll be like, you know, my kids aren't really, I mean, they play video games and stuff like that, but they like to go places and things like that. So they're not your typical, you know, 2024 kid, I guess, that just likes to stay inside on their devices. You know, my son's a big runner. My daughter's an artist. And so they like to go places and do things. So that they'll kind of keep you active, the big sports fans. So we go, you know, baseball games and things of that nature. So,
yeah.
You have to stay active. So being put down by, you know, an illness or whatever is tough.
Yeah. My daughter is 25. She's 25. Holy crap. She's finishing up grad school. She actually will complete grad school in just a couple of weeks. And her big complaint is there's no place for people her age to go that isn't a bar. You know, right. I mean, I think that, and I live in a town. She's in South Dakota right now, and I live in Michigan. Okay. But I live in a town where they keep opening up more bars. We have a lot of dispensaries here too, and they do some crossover dispensary slash bar kind of. They do, you know, they try to make these events where they're, you know, 420, like 420 is, this is being recorded the day before 420. By the way, happy birthday. You have a birthday coming up. Happy birthday.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Like that doesn't appeal to her. She's not interested in getting drunk or getting high. She wants to do activities. And I think that if you're listening and you are in a position where you want to open a bar, maybe think about the folks that don't want to go to a bar.
Sure.
You know, kind of the same vibe, but the alcohol isn't the main thing. Right.
Well, yeah. Is it still snowing there?
No, it's beautiful. Okay. Yeah, we'll have the windows open today. I just haven't opened them yet because I didn't want outside noise while I'm recording.
Is it above 80 degrees?
No, it only gets above 80 degrees in July and August, but not for very long.
Today, it's going to be 93 here.
Yeah, that's why I don't live in the South anymore.
Right. And so, but you said nothing to do. Like here, I we can't say the same thing. There's beaches, there's, you know, things of that nature. And contrary to popular belief, you can go on the beach 24 hours a day. I don't know if you'd want to go out there at 2 o'clock in the morning with the riffraff that's out there, but yeah, I used to say the same thing about Jacksonville. If you're not 21, there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
You know, when I was that age. But you know, down here, Florida's kind of grown up to incorporate, you know, try to incorporate everybody, because they understand that not every tourist wants to drink.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, here, but in rural South Carolina, you know, or places like that, to where, yeah, I've heard that before, that, you know, bars, I mean, are really the only place to go.
I live here, and if I want to go out to eat, I don't want to go to a bar to eat. Right. I want to go to a restaurant to eat. There aren't a lot of options. I live in a tourist town on Lake Michigan. Okay. So we get a lot of tourists, and there's a lot of bars. And, you know, I want to go to a restaurant.
Well, you don't have Chili's?
Well, we have places like that, but that's not, if you're a tourist, you don't want to go to Chili's.
Yeah. Right, because you have
you
that
You want to go to something locally owned, right?
Sure.
And your beach never closes, because ours closes at 11 and opens at 6.
But this is Florida. We don't really have laws. You know, I mean, we have a few, like if you kill somebody, we'll kill you back. You know, that's a law here. But I mean, it's all up for discussion. You know, it changes all the time. You know, I mean, you know, with well, I'm sure you know, Disney kind of runs the state, or they used to at least. But yeah, you could go on the beach. Yeah, I mean, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. I mean, there are stupid people out there fishing. Like 3 in the morning off the pier. The pier might close, but like the beach is technically like a national or a state park.
Yeah.
So it doesn't portions of the beach, you have these private beaches, you know, but like Jacksonville Beach is public. You know, you can go out there though. And that's probably the safest one, because there's cops out there all the time. And,
From California, and they would close our beaches in California too. You couldn't be there after 10 or something.
That's California.
I really miss living there. So don't say anything bad about California.
I'm not going to say anything bad about it. I'm just saying that we get compared to California a lot.
No, you shouldn't.
I tell people, they're like, what's the main difference between Florida and California? I was like, well, it's a different ocean.
Yeah.
That's number one. It's a totally different ocean.
And no, the difference between the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean is actually pretty huge. Pacific Ocean, ocean is called Pacific for a reason. Pacific means calm.
Right.
It's not as, I mean, the Atlantic Ocean really is rough.
It can be, especially when a hurricane comes at you. It can be. And I tell other people, it's like, also when you're driving north, the ocean in California is on the wrong side of the car. You know, so
I feel the same way about the ocean being on the wrong side of the car when I'm on the East Coast.
Sure. So, you know, when you're driving, because like A1A here, you know, is the scenic highway, kind of like Pacific Coast Highway. Or
Highway 1. Yeah.
And you know, if you're driving north, or you know, if you're driving north, it's on the passenger side of the car. You know, and if you're driving south, it's on the driver's side of the car, and so you know which way you're going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from where the ocean is. I love the water, so that's why I have retirement plans to get out of here, but for a different reason. But I love the water here. You could, especially in Jacksonville, you can overdose if you like water, because we have the ocean, we have lakes, we have the Gulf not too far away, and we have a river that at some points is 3 miles wide that flows the wrong way. Yeah, it flows north, which is interesting.
It's fascinating. Why does it do that?
I don't know.
There's another stupid history minute.
because
is that a stupid geography minute?
You know what's funny is I could probably do 3 months on just Jacksonville things, but the only people that are gonna get it are people that are from Jacksonville.
Yeah.
But the St. Johns River, I don't know if it's like, it's not like the Nile, which is another river that flows north. It's, if you say St. Johns River, they'll be like, huh? You know, but if you say the river that flows straight through downtown Jacksonville, people know it. I mean, people watch, you know, we've had the Super Bowl here. So, and every time we're on TV, they showcase the river, you know. So, but
well, the Nile really... flows north because it's south of the equator.
Okay. Well, ours flows north because we're in Florida. You know, the reason that
that could explain everything. That's the reason for everything.
The reason that we tell people when they ask, like if somebody comes to town and say they're from Savannah, and they'll be like, well, why does the river flow north? And we'd be because Georgia sucks. That's why we do what we tell people, you know.
That's why Wisconsin is so windy. Wisconsin is so windy because Michigan blows and Minnesota sucks.
Right.
But I live in Michigan, so I don't really like that joke anymore. We need to wrap up.
Okay.
And I want to know why a podcaster would benefit from joining a podcast network. Like
main thing, collaboration. We've got 22 different podcasts now. So if you wanted to get on to, you know, they're not everybody except guests. We are pretty picky about who we let in, for reasons that you said. There's a lot of podcasts out there that, you know, do 4 or 5 episodes and be like, I mean, this sucks. I'm not, you know, they get frustrated or whatever. So we give people I'm almost too honest with people when we go through a vetting process, like an interview process with prospective podcasts. And I'll tell them like, look, if you're a brand new podcast, you're probably not going to get more than 10 listeners for like a year. I mean, are you good with that? I mean, we'll try to help you out as much as we can, but you know, especially in a year, if you're serious about this and you want this to go somewhere, because we all in the back of our head are like, maybe this will take off. Maybe I can make this into my primary income earning, you know, maybe, you know, it's not just to me, it's not just a hobby. It's part of me now. It's part of my idea. Like my entire family knows not to call me on Tuesday nights because it's podcast night. If I'm like, I'm doing a push for Father's Day with a stupid history book. And I just lined up, you know, I told my wife, I was like, do not schedule things on these days. You know, this is what I'm doing. And that is just known. So it's part of me. And what I tried to get across to people, like, you know what I'm talking about? Like it's part of our identity now, you know, it wasn't, but now it is. Mm-hmm. And people like, I get identified more now as the guy from the Stupid History Minute than I do as the stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm okay with that. Yeah. I'm good. I'm good with that. You know, Hey, so-and-so, you know, so-and-so listened to your podcast. So-and-so downloaded your book. Yeah. Oh, cool. You know, thanks. You know, when are you going to be on stage next? I don't know. You know, I'm doing stuff. So it's part of you. So when people come to the
you
network,
have a broader reach from your podcast, though. I mean, if you're doing stand-up, you have the people in your audience, your podcast can reach people all over the world.
It does. I'm big in Indonesia. I'm just kidding. Yeah, but it's funny, the geolocation, that's like, I don't look so much at the downloads as to where people are listening.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's cool. But to answer your question, a lot of them want collaboration, you know, to help out with our particular studio. The feedback that we've gotten, and we're very community. I mean, we have chat rooms. We talk every day, all day. It can get kind of, pestering sometimes. So when you look down, I got another message, you know, but everybody helping everybody out. The people who have joined in the past, let's just say 6 months. Yeah, because we've been doing it for about a year and a half. In the past 6 months, it's grown really quickly because, you know, we don't advertise. We don't do anything. It's just word of mouth. It's grown really quickly and gotten some pretty diverse shows that are very, very, very interesting. And one of them is like, they came in, they're like, hey, we're a history show, but I know you already have a history show. And I'm like, no. We have a comedy show that talks about history. You know, and it's a minute long. So you guys are like a serious history show, and I'm good with that, you know, because you're talking about like stuff that I'll never get into. I'm doing the history of a paperclip over here. You know, we're doing pickles over here. Okay. Which is the number one most listened to episode is pickles, by the way.
Yes. I'm sure it is.
but with the studio. So that's the benefit. Collaboration. The people who have joined the last 6 months have said that they've gotten, you know, bumps, more interaction than they've ever had with their audience. They've got new audience members. You know, we're introducing other audiences to other shows. You know, just share by, you know, I mean, sharing on social media, that's one thing, but we've created a community. We talk, you know, email, we talk text message. You know, we have a structured leadership team. We have a process that we go through everything. It's like a legit now, like it, I don't want to say it wasn't legit before, but this came from an idea of two guys talking on the phone to now we have welcome packets and logos, and we have a sound bite that you put at the beginning or the end that's done professionally, and, you know, a website that's got 35 pages on it, you know, and it's just what it's grown into and what I foresee it, you know, where we're going to be in another year and a half, you know. Yeah. and there, but, you know, it's not like every day somebody's, you know, saying, hey, you know, what's about, like, we have a process. Like if you want to apply for membership, you know, want to be considered for membership, we have an application on the website, go there, fill it out. And the minute that goes to four people and all four are supposed to listen to your most recent episode of your podcast. You know, we're not going to listen to the first episode because those typically aren't as good as the most recent one. You know, I like to listen to the first Stupid History Minutes just to see where it's come, you know, because now it's like seamless. Like I don't even think about it, you know, but then, you know, I was just like, ah, man, the first batch, man, it took forever. It probably took 6 hours.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but anyhow, that's a long way to answer your question about what's a benefit for a podcast network. Collaboration, a little boost, community. You can ask questions. We have a guy that does audio help. Like if you can't get Audacity or GarageBand or whatever you're using, we also pay for a StreamYard account. So if you want to use StreamYard, you can do that. Things like that.
Yeah.
You know, but just to kind of group, there's safety in numbers kind of deal.
Honestly, as an independent podcaster, the idea of joining a network never appealed to me until recently when I realized just how lonely it could get.
It really does. There, you know, it's not for everybody though.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked to some podcasts that I would consider not independent podcast. Like I would consider these to be very mainstream, well-known podcasts that were interested in because, you know, they kind of thought, you know, we're very inclusive, you know, very inclusive, and we don't censor people, you know, and apparently that's not true everywhere.
Exactly. It isn't. You know? Okay. So Father's Day is coming up. You've got this yep. great book that I think my husband would actually really enjoy having. So talk about your book.
It's called Stupid History Book. It's based on about the first 100 episodes of the podcast. If you are getting the book and you think it's just going to be the transcripts of the podcast, you are incorrect. It's a lot more in depth on the, basically on the podcast, you're getting 100 words. That's a minute. These are 500 to 1,000 explanations. We'll dig deeper into where these things come from. Now, a lot of people are like, oh, it's probably funny. It is funny. But it's funny in a different way. And let me tell you why. We wrote it to read like a history book. And that's kind of part of the joke. But there are Easter eggs in there. No, there are three. No one's found all three. No one's found all three. And we've probably sold 1,000 of these, you know, between paperback, hard copy and Kindle. So, but while supplies last, if you go to stupidhistory.net, you can get an author signed copy of it. But there are three Easter eggs. I have got right here, I'll show you. I have a $500 gift card that is sitting in my desk for somebody who can name all three Easter eggs in the book. Yeah. You know, most people have gotten the first one. The first one is in the first six chapters. It's pretty, if you're paying attention and you listen to the podcast, you'll get it. the third one, which is, I think, last quarter of the book, that's tough. Yeah, most people get one and two, but no one's gotten all three. Yeah, that's tough. This is the first time I've actually told people where they are, you know, kind of, you know, where to look at. The second one is pretty obvious, but
I know it's going in my promo copy for this episode. If you want to know where the Easter eggs are in your kid's book, listen to this episode.
But I would be, no one has said the third one, yeah. You know? But I, you know, I haven't kind of, you know, when the book came out in October, I was, you know, pretty big on it. I mean, the guys at Unfiltered Studios are probably just like, dude, if we hear one more thing about this damn book, you know, but wanted to get it out before Christmas. And did we rush it a little bit? You know, we're writing volume two right now, and now we have a lot more time to, you know, to kind of look at it. But we're going to try to get volume two out by Father's Day. But I thought about it and I said, you know what? Volume one deserves its own Father's Day. Yeah, because this is really the perfect Father's Day book. It's not meant to sit down and I'm going to have a quiet Friday night and read about the history of Ziploc bags. No, that's not what we're doing here. It's meant to go on the back of your toilet. That's where it's meant for, you know, and every toilet in America should have one, I think. You know, so
my husband is a history buff and my daughter has a bachelor's degree in history. So history is something our family really enjoys. So I think we'll enjoy the book. I asked my guests the same two questions every episode. So what is your favorite marketing tool, tip, or technique?
Marketing tool, tip, or technique, digital or otherwise?
Whatever your favorite is.
My favorite marketing technique is speaking like people like you. You know, my forte is my ability to represent myself, you know, and my ability to talk and things of like that nature. Me and you could probably have a conversation for 4 hours, you know,
agreed.
I mean, we really could, but that is my favorite market. Let me get out. I have a background in sales. So I'm sure you could tell if I can't use my personality and my talk to people and all this, then I'm dead. You know, I'm literally I'm a performer by nature. You know, so I could turn it on and turn it off. Like me and the Unfiltered guys have arguments all the time. And then I'll hit live and then it's fine. And I was like, I could turn it on and turn it off. So that is my favorite marketing tip. I'm pushing 50, not really the biggest in digital marketing. You know, I kind of like Twitter because it's funny to me what people take seriously.
Oh, yeah.
I was telling my daughter, I was like, look, you know, they're like, why do they think that Generation X is so tough? And I was like, because we had to tell people off to their face. We didn't have all this. You know, if we wanted to tell somebody off, it wasn't just type it on there and then, you know, put the phone down and check it later. You know, we had to tell somebody off to their face and maybe they hit us and maybe they didn't, you know.
I keep threatening people that I'm going to read my mean comments from my YouTube channel. Yeah. Some of them are actually hilarious. Actually, I leave them all up. I've never taken a comment down. I want the world to see who you really are. Although the mean comments are, you know, are all pseudonyms. But one of these days, I'm going to actually read some of them out loud because some of them are hilarious. I mean, and, you know, I'm a nice, approachable woman.
Sure.
You know, but some of the stuff people say about me on my podcast, on my YouTube channel, are not nice.
People want to bring you down. We did an episode with a guy named Flat Earth Dave, a guy named Dave Weiss. He goes by Flat Earth Dave. He's a flat earther. And you know what? Everybody's entitled to their opinion. We had him on.
Yeah.
And this is on Unfiltered. We had him on. Man, I will never have a flat earther on ever again. They have a following and their following is fanatical, man. And I was just like, because we were kind of like, you know, making fun of them as a comedy podcast. We're kind of making fun of them. We're like, you know, Neewall. And they were serious. They're like, yeah, these guys are close-minded. They won't look at it another way. And I'm like, look, it's not that some scientists think that the earth is round. All scientists think that the earth is round.
Well, so I genuinely want to know, what do the flat earthers think happens when you get to the edge of the earth?
No, they think there's an ice wall. Like Antarctica is an ice wall. It's not really Antarctica. And like it stops everything, right? There's a big ice wall. My question is then why aren't there cruises to the ice wall?
Well, but you can fly all the way around the world and come back to where you started in a
No, you
circle.
can't. That's just a, oh, what, have you ever been a pilot and done that? That's just a, you know, if you've never circumvented the globe, then you're just part of the government conspiracy trying to cover it up.
Ooh,
You
okay.
know, and then
I really don't understand the flat
they
earth.
always do this. They always do this. That, you know, you need to do your own research. And here's the YouTube link. That's what they'll do. All of them. All of them. You know, and if any flat earthers can hear me right now, you are more than welcome to contact me and we will get on unfiltered and have a debate.
I
You know.
don't think there are any flat earthers listening to this particular show.
Well, yeah.
I don't
I think
think.
I think the Flat Earth Dave is a good interview though. He because he's prepared, you know, it showing what people are talking about. If you're prepared, you
Yeah.
know, and all that, I appreciate that. You know, if you're prepared and you're going, so he's got a whole like PowerPoint presentation.
Keb Pound, this is your moment of gratitude. For whom or what are you most grateful?
I am most grateful for my family. I'm most grateful for my children that keep me young or try to keep me young. And I am most thankful for my wife. I call her the soon to be world famous wife because she literally saved my life. And I'm gonna leave it at that because that is a subject for another podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast for micropreneurs building genuine, lasting relationships with clients, colleagues, and community. Our theme music is Track 14 by Rev Brock and Solily. Make sure to visit gratitudegeek.com for all the groovy ways to connect with our guest, Keb Pound. I've been your host, Candice Ridardi. Stay groovy, my friends.
Stay groovy, my friends.